This is Lewis A. This is H. Spencer Lewis in his book Rosicrucian Questions and Answers. He says, I have to move this around so I can see it because this bright light's in my eyes, but he goes, everyone with common sense will appreciate the fact that a book claiming to be a complete presentation of the secret teachings and secret ritual of the Freemasons would be unworthy of purchase at any price, for one would know instinctively that the contents of the book could not possibly fulfill the claim made by the title. The same may be said of books dealing with the subject of Rosicrucian philosophy. The things that I'm telling you about, if you ask a Freemason, they're not going to confirm them. They're not going to validate them. And this on the previous book that you saw by Clymer, I have this in here because he says, I quote from the highest Masonic authorities in the world, and that which concerns mystic Masonry comes direct from who knows and who has no superior in this work. So I'm giving you information from the top in case you doubt these authorities. This is simply showing us again in the same book that Masonry was founded on the ancient wisdom religions, and when founded was not known as Masonry. It's known as mystery religion. And this quote by the same man in the same book, Ancient Mystic Oriental Masonry, the religion then of Masonry is pure theism on which it, that's good enough. And by the way, Clymer's quote there, as another one of the previous quotes, was from Mackey's one of Mackey's works. And so you have two high-level Masonic authorities, both validating the same thing in this quote. Here's another quote from, this is from Mackey's Masonic Jurisprudence, and found Clymer is quoting Mackey's Masonic Jurisprudence. So broad is the religion of Masonry, and so carefully are all sectarian tenets excluded from the system, that the Christian, the Jew, and the Mohammedan, in all their numberless sects and divisions, may and do harmoniously combine in its moral and intellectual work with the Buddhist, the Pharisee, the Confucian, and the worshiper of deity under every form. No wonder it's going to be the religion of the New World Order. And this quote here is just showing that Masonry is claimed to be the pagan mystery religions by Masons. And this is at the House of the Temple. There's another room further in this temple, which is much smaller, which has 13 chairs, which is one of the rooms that the Illuminati's Grand Druid Council meets in. This is from the New Age magazine, the official organ of the Supreme Council of the 33rd degree of the Scottish Rite. And it says, has Freemasonry then a spiritual conception only? Is its objective the solidifying into a beautiful utopia, the wonderful infinity of the first cause, and the kaleidoscope finiteness of its mortal human creatures? Is its mission solely directed to the establishment of the long-heralded and hoped-for kingdom of the Brotherhood of Man? You know, when I wrote a book back in 1990 showing the connections between the Watchtower Society and the occult world, and it's a book of is back there for you to look at, The Watchtower and the Masons. The man who was in charge of me, I was a Christian missionary at the time, he said, I don't think too much of your book because it speaks despairingly of the Freemasons. And all the Freemasons are is a group of old men that like to play cards. And I thought to myself, and that's why they spend millions of dollars on these temples all over? Is so they put up the report commission. This is Manly P. Hall again. He says, when evaluating the esoteric groups, that would be like the Rosicrucians and Freemasons and Lucius Trust, etc., of this period, the most reliable guide is their acceptance of the responsibility of the great plan. I've already explained that's the plan to bring in the New World Order. Progress is not ordinarily for the advancement of the individual, but for the unfoldment of the universal project. The real esoteric schools still labor towards the goal of the world commonwealth, that's the United Nations, so to speak. The plan remains utopian, and the disciple advancing through the grades of a legitimate initiate system is being prepared not for personal emancipation, but as an instrument for the liberation of his fellow man. Now, I want to point out something to you about that word utopia. It's Greek for meaning nowhere land. That's what Satan holds out for his people, is a utopia, in contrast with God's paradise. Okay, now there's a big distinction between that cube-shaped model that I showed you and the double pyramid. What's the distinction? And this is a distinction that you need to catch. When they started this country, most of the men that founded this country were Freemasons. 33 of the 35 signers of the Declaration of Independence were Freemasons. If you look at the Declaration of Independence, Thomas Jefferson, who was a member of the Illuminati, he wrote, "Nature's God." You know, he talks about nature's God. What kind of God did Thomas Jefferson believe in? He believed in the type of God that these people who worship nature, your Wiccans, believe in. And that's what he was referring to. And the Constitution was constructed to be the carrot to bring us in to this new world order. It was to be the most perfect form of government that Satan's world system could construct, so other people would want to revolt. And they created this on purpose, this constitution, so that like a thread in a garment, you could pull this thread and unravel it. Okay, it was intentionally created that way. But there were some very fundamental differences between our constitution and God's paradise. And let me explain that, because it's why we're in a lot of trouble. If you'll go back and look, remember we talked about in that earlier diagram about God being the lawgiver and order? Remember, that was one of the elements of paradise, God being the lawgiver? When they set this country up, who did they make as the lawgiver? The legislature. So, where the Bible says homosexuality is a sin and wrong, that's the law, right? Homosexuality is wrong. That's the law of God. But by usurping the role of God and giving the role of God to man so that they can be the lawgiver, now in our country they can come along and they can debate whether homosexuality is good or bad. And if they decide that it's good, they can promote it however they want. See, that's a fundamental difference between paradise and the Constitution. Not that the Constitution doesn't have a lot of great things about it, but you have to understand it relates to the utopian concept that Satan has been promising the world. Now, this comes from a Masonic magazine, the Masonic Review, and it says, "Masonry's greatness is not in the antiquity of its beginnings, neither in its conservatism, but rather in the fact that it has always been a leader of thought and action. I repeat, a comprehensive understanding of the history of Masonry leads us inevitably to the conclusion that not through conservatism has it most served the world, but rather through its spirit of unrest, its utter abhorrence of unnecessary restraint, its abiding love for the liberty, its unconquerable desire to progress away from the old to the new and better conditions. Whenever the conflict has been waged between the old and the new, between a narrow conservatism and real progress, our Masonic brethren have been found on rock. Witness the members of St. Andrew's Lodge of the Green Dragon who threw the tea into Boston Harbor. I wish I had a dollar for every time an American talked about the Boston Tea Party being a tax revolt against high taxes. What happened? You can change history by just altering a few facts and a few details. What happened was that English Parliament drastically cut taxes. They drastically cut import taxes so that they were bare-bottom taxes. Now, the Freemasons of the time were smuggling illegal goods into the colonies. They were smuggling a lot of opium in the bottom of ships, and they were also smuggling other goods like tea. When import taxes on legitimate tea were cut drastically, it meant that their illegal tea no longer was profitable, and they were going to lose out on their smuggling. So when these Masons got together for their lodge meeting at this Green Dragon Inn, and I want you to remember that name, Green Dragon, for later, they decided, and it's you can see it in the minutes of their lodge meeting, they closed the lodge meeting immediately and then discussed how they would form this Boston Tea Party. And they dressed up as Indians, and their Masonic lodge went down and did a criminal act, and there happened to be this captain who was just in the wrong place at the wrong time, and they took millions of dollars of his cargo and dumped it into the harbor. And since that time, history has been warped a little bit, and people see that as a great patriotic act. And here in my Be Wise as Serpents book is one of the diagrams that I put together showing Masonic lodges during the American Revolutionary War period. And I could talk for a week about how the Freemasons created the American Revolutionary War for the Illuminati, and how it was actually won, and a lot of the secret things about it, but we don't have time to go into that. And this is again from Morals and Dogma by Albert Pike. This is again, as I said, given to 32 degree Scottish Rite Freemasons. And he says, the blue degrees are but the outer core or portico of the temple. Part of the symbols are displayed there to the initiate, but he is intentionally misled by false interpretations. It is not intended that he shall understand them, but it is intended that he shall imagine he understands them. Their true explication is reserved for the adepts. It is well enough for the mass of those called Masons to imagine that all is contained in the blue degrees, and whoso attempts to undeceive them will labor in vain and without any true reward violate his obligations as an adept. You see the G in the square and compass on the lodge. Well, to the public, they're told that stands for G. That G stands for God. You join and they tell you it stands for Gnosticism. Well, remember, as you move up, you're given more light. They dish this out in this initiate system, this hidden knowledge that they have. Well, when you get higher up, you find out that the G stands for the generative principle. And that's why later on, you'll see very shortly, that the Masons wear a lambskin. They're protected by the lamb, just like Christians are protected by the blood of the lamb. They cover their God, which is the phallus. And they bury themselves under a hard phallus. Those are the obelisks that you see in our cemeteries. And when the president, who is a Mason, looks out of the White House, he can look at a large obelisk. If you go to India and ancient Egypt, they worshipped the phallus. Right? They were traumatized, and through this demonic traumatization, they thought if they worship phalluses, that would relieve them, that would bring them benefits. And they're all over our country. And the president looks out of the White House and he sees the Washington Monument. And I wouldn't want to be buried under something like that. Here we see another high-ranking Freemason in his book, The Spirit of Masonry. He says, little as it may be realized by the unthinking Mason, who is interested only in the outer aspects of the craft work, the whole fabric of Masonry may be regarded as an externalization of that inner spiritual group whose members down the ages have been the custodians of the plan and as those to whom has been committed the workings out of the will of God for the race of men. They assist at the unfolding of the consciousness of the candidate until the time comes when he can enter into the light and in his turn become a light bearer, one of the Illuminati who can assist the lodge on high in bringing humanity to light. So if you're good enough, of course they don't tell you that you have to have the right bloodline too, But if you're the one of the chosen ones and you go through Freemasonry and you're good enough, you can become an enlightened one, a God one who's part of the Illuminati. But as you've seen in this document and the previous one, most Masons are deceived. They don't realize what the overall plan is. And why is that? Remember, going back to the pie-shaped diagram, the pyramid, remember that Freemasonry was just another Gnostic religion? Remember, you've got your broad masses? Well, most of the people that join Freemasonry only go to the first 3 degrees, about 75-80%. They go to what's called the Blue Lodge. That's your broad masses. They're taught one thing. But you can get some people to be more committed. That's your initiate group, right? So those are the people that go on to the Red Lodge. And then you've got your cover ruling body, which is your Supreme Council. And then within that Supreme Council, you've got some actual diehard Satanists. You catch on to that pattern, you'll see that it repeated many times in Satan's world system. And here's the New Age magazine says, what's the use of building up an organization like Masonry has built up and inspiring men as Masonry has inspired them and then leaving the whole stand idle and useless at a time when our country needs just what Masonry can give it? Let's use this great machine. So some people have told me, yeah, Masonry may have those goals, but so what? Well, are they going to do it? Yes. Masonry also has a mission to perform. She invites all men of all religions to enlist under her banners and to war against evil, ignorance, and wrong. And that's by Albert Pike's Morals and Dogma. This is externalization of the hierarchy. Years ago, I said that the war which may follow this one would be waged in the field of the world religions. Such a war will not work out. However, in a similar period of extreme carnage and blood, it will be fought largely with mental weapons and in the world of thought. It will involve also the emotional realm from the standpoint of idealistic fanaticism. This inherent fanaticism, found ever in reactionary groups like Christians, will fight against the appearance of the coming world religion and the spread of esotericism. The coming struggle will emerge within the churches themselves. And again, she tells us that the outline of this universal church shall appear by the end of the 20th century. And here's from the New Age magazine again, where they say Freemasonry is a world power. How much of a world power? In 93 in my newsletters, in one of them, I published a list of several hundred high-ranking Vatican officials who are high-ranking Freemasons, and I gave their secret Masonic initiation dates and numbers. And that's just a little bit part of the list. In the previous document, that you, Transparency, he was talking about a war between Freemasonry and the Catholic Church. Well, that's long over. If you'll look at what's been happening, there's been all types of cooperation between the Catholic Church and Freemasonry since the 60s. In fact, this is kind of interesting. Here's a Catholic church, and it has the Illuminati triangle and all-seeing eye in it. These people are everywhere. The Freemasons, I have tried to expose how they've been operating in the world. They're constantly creating new organizations. There's approximately 800 fraternal organizations in the United States, and essentially, all of those have been created by the Freemasons. Remember I talked about West Point? Well, I couldn't quite put my finger on what was wrong with West Point when I was there at the time, but I've later learned that it was a fraternity and all the elements of mind control were used there. So we're talking in this talk about fraternities, and later we're going to cover about mind control. And here are some of the groups that the Masons have created. And I know this is very difficult to read. I can't even read it myself. But you've got the Freemasons have been involved in the founding of the Boy Scouts, Kiwanis, Christian Science, the Watchtower Society, the Ku Klux Klan, Primitive Methodists, and etc. And it never ceases. Here real quickly for you are some of our presidents in their Masonic garb: George Washington, Andrew Johnson, William McKinley, William Howard Taft, Theodore Roosevelt, FDR, Truman, and Ronald Reagan. This bright orange tract, the reason why I set it out there, I didn't write it, but I've been asked for years to write a tract that would tell people what was going on. And as I went back and prayed about it and looked at historically how tracts have been written, one of the things that I noticed was is that the things that appealed to the common people use symbolism. And you look at this symbolism on here, right there on the front, it says America under siege, American peril, explosive exposés of the treasonous betrayal of America and Americans by traitors in and out of the government. Boy, boom, you've been told a whole mouthful right there, real quick. And so I thought this tract was really good, and I went down to downtown Portland and passed out several hundred. And the next day I had a SWAT team at my house wondering what kind of neo-Nazi I was. But you are welcome to take as many of these as you want to pass out, because that's why I got them. I was passing them out not because they sell a book, which is true, but because I thought that they would tell the common person very quickly that we're in a heap of trouble. I think that's
a click.
No, it's working.